Welcome to everybody. Fantastic to have the community, honoured guests, lovely volunteers, fantastic tradesmen. Is that the right? Would you like to call yourself that? Yeah. So what a pleasure that you've all come on this dark evening to help us dedicate this space. It's a very special space. So I'm just going to talk for a little bit. So this evening is going to be divided, I was going to say three sections, but actually maybe four. So I'm going to talk for a little bit, and then we're going to have a little bit of rejoicing, and then we're going to actually dedicate, we'll do the ritual bit, we'll dedicate this space, which will be the dedication ceremony and chanting a mantra. And when we've finished everything, then there's tea and chocolate muffins back in the community house. So everything should be covered, I hope. So some of you will remember the old Tara cabin. And in 2007, Sangharakshita came here, so the founder of this movement came here and dedicated the old Tara cabin. And it was a very popular space, very well used, very loved space in this retreat centre. And it kind of sank in a certain sort of way because we're on sand. There's a biblical thing in there, isn't there, about building on sand. And then it got burned down deliberately because that was the only way to finish it off, really. And it was very missed. It was very upsetting for people here, and that was greatly missed, that space. And then I think, was it in 2015 when Moksha Pushpa died? Was it 2015? 2014, an older member, Moksha Pushpa, died. So many of you will know her. We'll hear a bit more about her later. And she left a very generous legacy in her will, which provided the possibility of us building the Tara cabin, another Tara cabin. So the decision was made on the back of that, I think, in the sense that we can raise enough money to do this. So we've got this sort of phoenix-like re-arising, re-becoming of a Tara cabin. And so many people have been involved in this project. Some enormously, some poured themselves into this project. So it's fantastic that we've got to this point. Real pleasure. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the sort of symbolism of this, what it is that has been created, I suppose, and what it is that we're dedicating. So when Sangharakshita was here in 2007, he talked quite a bit about Tara. So Tara Loka is Tara's realm, and this is Tara's cabin, and here is Tara. And he talked about, Tara comes in various forms. He talked about there being 21 different forms of Tara's on one common sort of manifestation of her. So she's got many forms, and she's a very important figure, particularly in Tibet. She's extremely popular figure for Tibetan Buddhists. There's a lot of devotion towards her. And in a way, there is a Tibetan connection for Tara Loka, in that Sangharakshita was reminiscing how he was introduced to this figure, Tara, through two of his Tibetan teachers. So one, quite a character, Chetul Sangye Dorje, quite a sort of rough diamond, I think, who, and he's dead now, but he lived to an incredible age, 100 and something or other. He used to regularly just go off, he'd just disappear off, even at the age of 95, and people wouldn't know where he'd gone, and he'd just be travelling, meditating, doing whatever. So he gave Sangharakshita the green Tara sadhana way back in the what was that, 50s or 60s. And then another key teacher of Sangharakshita's, Dado Rinpoche, who he was close friends with and who was extremely exemplary, very kind, compassionate, wise man, gave him the white Tara sadhana. So there's just two of these manifestations of Tara. So there's a connection from Tibet through Sangharakshita to here, which is quite nice. And since Tara Loka was founded in its early 80s, 84, is that right? 85. So this land, this place has been dedicated to Tara. It is her realm. And I know certainly everybody who's been involved in the Tara Loka community, we see ourselves as caretakers or guardians of Tara's realm. That's sort of what we do. That's what we're doing. It's a sort of slightly mythic role. It does involve a lot of hoovering, but it's also very mythic. Yes. Yeah, but these things, they have a mythic dimension to them. And all the retreatants, all the women who've come on retreat over the decades, are what they're coming into is her sphere of influence. So I want to say a little bit more about Tara, so who she is. Because she's an archetypal form. She's not a historical figure. She's this archetypal manifestation of compassion. So she can be a queen or a goddess or a Buddha, a fully enlightened being, or a bodhisattva, a being that helps other beings to awaken through wisdom and compassion. But she essentially is the embodiment of compassion. And again, when Sangharakshita was here, he was particularly emphasizing compassion in action. So she's dynamic and she steps down into the world. She meets what is. So she's, in that sense, she functions as a sort of bridge in a number of ways. She functions as a bridge in that sense, her left side of her body is, her leg is in meditation posture and her right is stepping down. So she bridges the sort of inner world of meditation, wisdom, insight, and maybe this inner world of retreat. And she bridges that with a stepping out into the world and engaging. She bridges the East and the West, as I've described. So this connection between the Buddhism of the East, and particularly Tibet, and then the West, and specifically here. So I think it's rather lovely that she has landed here. Yeah, it's quite a leap through space and time in some ways, but she's arrived here, stepped into this land. And she's also a bridge in the sense of connecting us through to this lineage, our teacher, his teachers, and back through time. So she's a sort of bridge in terms of time and space. And another point that Sangharakshita was making in 2007 was that this compassion that she embodies is not pity. It's different. And the distinction he was making is that compassion has no ego. There's no sense of self. There's no comparison. There's no me or you. There's a natural, immediate, spontaneous response of one human being to another human being, or one life to another life. And also, she has her left hand is in this mudra, which is associated with fearlessness. And again, he was saying that fearlessness, again, has no ego in it. And he was saying that, in a way, the only reason we fear is because we're trying to protect something, and actually what we're trying to protect is the ego. So the ego and fear are actually not different. So when there's no ego, there's no fear. So she's this combination of the expression of egolessness through fearlessness and compassion. And she's also in her form, he was talking about, I think it's Sharma Tara, which is one name the Tibetans talk of. So she's dark green, a really dark green, which means she's got this depth and mystery to her. And another aspect of Tara, or another manifestation of Tara that you mentioned, was Kadirabani Tara. So this is the Tara of the sort of the forest or the groves. Apparently Kadirabani is the acacia tree, but we don't need to worry about that because acacias don't particularly grow in this country. But it's I find it interesting that Maitri City has spent years planting with volunteers, many of you, thousands and thousands of trees. And so actually this cabin is right on the edge of the woodlands, right on the edge of a sort of forest. So I like the fact that it's occupying this sort of liminal space. The main bulk of the retreat centre is over there, the bricks and mortar over there, and this cabin is right on the edge of the woods. So it takes us into the wild, it takes us into the unknown, it takes us into the mysterious. So this is this maybe the dark aspect of Tara, the unknown. So the Tara cabin, this cabin, stands for that space where women can come on retreat and they can come and meditate and reflect and study and practice, and they're right at the edge of the unknown. Yeah. And they can come and cultivate these qualities of wisdom and compassion that are a dissolving and a wearing away of the ego. And again, that takes us right to the edge of the unknown. So this space, we can imagine it as being touched by and blessed by the influence of Tara. And this cabin has just been built out of a tremendous amount, of love and care and generosity, just huge amounts of it. And that love and care and generosity has been poured into Tara Loka for years, for decades. And now into this cabin. And it's a gift. It's a gift. And it's a gift not for any of us, really. This place, this whole place, and this cabin as part of it, is a sort of gift forward to all the women who are yet to come. So it's a sort of gift forward through time and through space. And it's, in a way, you can think of it as one generation giving to the next. And so the whole thing, the whole fabric of this place is imbued with love and generosity that goes beyond individuals. Yeah, it's something that's collective. It's a sort of, so again, it's this manifestation of Tara that's nothing to do with individuals and what we might get out of it. It's a sort of gift to the world. So although on the scale of the world, it is quite a small thing, it doesn't mean it's insignificant. It's got a huge significance. It has a vastness to it because of what it stands for, what it symbolises, and the way it's been made. So what we're doing tonight is going to do a dedication ritual which in a way underlies that, underlines that, the significance or the meaning of this cabin. Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're making it very clear what this cabin is for and about, evoking the intention and the meaning of it. So we're making it clear that this belongs sort of in an archetypal realm in some ways, and it is in service to the world. So what we're going to do is we're going to just have a section where we just bring to mind everybody who has given in some way to this cabin, creating this space. And then after that, we will do the dedication ceremony and call and response. And then when that is finished, Hridayagita is going to start up the Tara mantra. And I think it's going to be just exactly the same tune as it was in 2007. Which is nice. So the Tara mantra is the evocation, or it's the sound manifestation of Tara's qualities of compassion. Yeah. So that's what we'll be chanting. And during that mantra, please come up and make offerings of incense or tapers to Tara. And what that means is you dedicating yourself or honouring these qualities of Tara, which I've been evoking, these qualities of compassion, especially compassion, active compassion in the world. So it's sort of reverencing that. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's all I'm going to say right now. And we're going to have Suchita's going to talk a bit now about Moksha Pushpa. So just
how wonderful! How wonderful this is. So on the shrine, we have a photo of Moksha Pushpa, and this was taken August 2014. Here, that's the entrance to the shrine room. Somebody took it just as she was leaving to come and meet me in a tent on the land for her private ordination. So Moksha Pushpa was terminally ill, and we managed to get together this private ordination retreat. I think if there had been a Tara cabin, that's where the private ordination would have taken place. But with this tremendous support from the community, we were able to do her private ordination, I don't know, under some trees somewhere at the back by the ditch. I think you were doing the garage roof at the time. And Moksha Pushpa had a very strong connection with Tara Loka, you know, over years. Predates my coming here. You know, she supported retreats, she was an organizer. I'm sure all of you will have met her and known her. And she was an RHS trained gardener. That's how we met. She came to help garden here. And she came on the work retreats. And in a way, she's everywhere. A bit like Tara, she's everywhere on the land, you know. So over years, she did this. And she loved and had a great affinity with the previous Tara cabin. She was, I don't know, she was a Tai Chi practitioner, a very good one. And I remember seeing her do Tai Chi in the old Tara cabin. I also, one of my enduring memories is not long before she died, seeing her here doing the sword form with Radai Gita just down by the Tara pond. So she has a very strong a deep connection with Tara Loka and all the different aspects or kind of levels of connection with it. So 9 weeks after that photo was taken or thereabouts, I was leading her funeral. I think you were doing the floor and the cellar underneath Ranshui's room at the time. And well, yeah, I just want to kind of emphasize, I can't emphasize enough the sense of Moksha Pushpa's presence that still remains here, because she had a little cottage in Cornwall, and we were given a portion of the proceeds of the sale of that cottage. And it was that bequest from her to Tara Loka that kick-started the whole process of kind of thinking, well, could we? Is it possible? Could we rebuild? Do we need another Tara cabin? But anyway. And her ashes are here. We had two little boxes of her ashes. One is by the little moss-covered Buddha in the bank by the Tara pond, which is where she specified. But also we scattered them everywhere because she had been everywhere on the land, you know, and in the gardens. And I think if you put your hands into the soil and you work it, you work the soil and you care for it, then things grow. And the earth kind of receives and responds to that energy. So I have a very strong sense that in some way, something lives on and is because of the work and the energy and the time and the loyalty and the love that she felt for Tara Loca within the bricks and the mortar and the insulation and the fabric of this contains all of her qualities somewhere. Up in the ridge pole, up on the ridge, under a ridge tile, is the red thread from her Kalyana Mitra ceremony. So Andy put that up there. You know, so she's going to be here long after we've gone, because I don't think this cabin is going to fall down. So, you know. And also, she had a really easy, ready sense of delight. You know, so her name means she who is a flower of freedom. And I just know. It's almost, I can hear her laughter and her pleasure and her delight that she's helped this space come into being. That's it.
So, in addition to Moksha Pushpa's legacy, we received a fantastic total of £19,550, verified by our finance department today, towards the cabin, which enabled us to build this new sacred space. And this amount came from about 250 individual donors. So that's quite a number of people, 250, who've given to create this. And the donations ranged from about £10 from individuals to £1,000 and £3,000. So all those women giving different amounts, but all wanting to give. And in our initial appeal, we asked for donations of £20. And there was a great response. We had a lot of people who gave us £20 towards the cabin. And our first donor, Anne, said how happy she was to be able to give and contribute, and that it didn't require a large donation, but she could give £20 and just be a part of this. And along with the donations, we also received people's good wishes for the cabin. So whether they gave on the website, over the phone, or during Dana appeals, people spoke of their love of Tara Loca, their wish to support this new space, and also of their connection with the old Tara cabin. That came up quite a bit, including someone who gave a donation and said they learnt to meditate for the first time in the old Tara cabin, and they're now a GFR Mitra. So I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who's given their money and their good wishes, to everyone who's made it possible to build this cabin, and to be part of the flow of generosity that continues to thrive at Tara Loca now and in the future.
So there we were with the money. Were we going to build another cabin that was going to fall down? No, we weren't. So luckily we'd had Craig lined up from the very beginning. And actually, Craig, I'm going to come to you last because I'm going to mention everybody that's had something to do with it that I'm aware of. Although, of course, it has been Craig, you know, constructing, designing, masterminding, project managing. He's sweating, yeah. You know, the whole thing. And I must say, I did just feel really moved, Craig, when you said what you said to me one time, I'm dreaming about this cabin. So anyway, so we'll come to Craig last, because we had quite a few different sorts of tradesmen coming in working with you at various points, and I don't actually know all their names. So there was a whole load of groundwork done. Now, how many tons of stone was it that went into the foundations in the end? I seem to remember you said something like 37 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we're built on sand, but we're built on a massive load of hardcore and then a large concrete slab, and that is not going to go anywhere. And I think you had a father and a son helping you doing that.
Yeah, another tradesman we worked together a lot, John.
John, yeah, I don't think I was around when that was particularly happening. And then we had your young lad, Max,
right,
who then sort of vanished.
My son, Richard.
Yes, we had a lot of Richard, at various points. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Tooling up, tooling down.
That's right.
Yeah. And then we had the roof going on, so we had Andy, the roofer, come in and help in. You tell me if I miss somebody, okay? And we knew Andy already because he'd done the roof of the house. And I don't know, you know, anyone that's been around while there are kind of like guys working with Craig is like, you always pick really lovely people. They always seem kind of friendly, helpful, delightful to have around, and very, very good at their jobs. And I think that goes for like all of the guys that have been working on this project, and yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely Andy's
it
one of them.
It takes a lifetime to build up your trade base of people that you know.
So I think actually, like, we're benefiting from Craig's lifetime of building up relationships with those guys. So then, after an awful lot more building work and an awful lot more of Craig and Richard, then we had the plasterers coming in, and there were three of them, and they were like a comedy act.
That's right.
And I can't remember any of their names, but I can remember some of what they wanted to drink.
Well, Ben, Mark, the plumber's lad, gave us a hand.
That's right, Ben helped.
Time off university.
That's right, yeah.
But it was Paul and his father, Terry, a family run.
Mm.
Plasterers for their generations, time served, and their younger, new arrival, Jack. So it was Terry, Paul and Jack, plastering out for us.
And they did a lovely job because we did the decorating afterwards and it was a beautiful plaster job.
Proper.
Yeah, proper. Exactly. And then we had Martin, the electrician, coming and putting in all the electrics. Will, oh dear.
That's okay.
Okay, Will, the electrician. I can see his face.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and taking a lot of delight in sort of like, you know, Craig and Will between them, like selecting exactly which sort of lights would give the right kind of light that is kind of like soft and not glaring. You listen to those, they're dimmable and they don't make a sound. No bars, no nothing. Exactly. And then after that it was pretty much there, and we had me and Mike Davey and Kirsty, who's a paramedic, who came and we just blitzed it and we just painted the whole thing very quickly before Craig came in and did second fix. And that was a great job. We got some fantastic photos of Kirsty, who managed to do this great sort of Tai Chi move standing on Craig's scaffolding doing the roof. And then we had Sarah with the work retreat coming and putting all the final touches to it after Craig had said, it's all yours, here are the keys. And they were doing things like oiling the window ledges and sort of cleaning off the bits of paint that we'd left and the bits of plaster and sorting out the racking and oiling the shrine base and then getting everything in here and arranging it all ready to be used. And the coat hooks, and the coat hooks. How could I forget the coat hooks? Yes. So now I do come back to Craig. And Elaine and Cathy helped with the painting. Yeah. Okay, any more bids? Anyone else that I've forgotten? That's right, actually, yeah. The plywood was down. The working floor was down, yeah. And the whole community had a community night back in the summer where we painted the Sanskrit of Tara's mantra in a big circle on the floor. And so we're sat on it at this moment. We're sat on that mantra. And we also painted it in English on the concrete all the way around the outside. That's weathering slightly less well. Okay, anyone else have gone? Okay, right. Okay, so... So we've had Craig doing a lot of work for us over the last few years, and I don't think I've ever encountered such an outstanding craftsman or tradesman as Craig is. Really outstanding. So I'll just go take you through a few of the areas. So one area is Craig is incredibly reliable and he's a very, very good communicator. So if Craig says he's going to be here first thing in the morning on a certain day, he's there. And if he's not there, he's told you why in advance and explained why it is. And that's actually an extremely unusual quality in tradesmen. I've got people behind you nodding there. And another fantastic quality Craig has, which will be obvious to anyone that knows him, is he's incredibly enthusiastic. And which, you know, it does just make you a delight to work with, because it's sort of like you're thinking, oh, how can we do this? And, you know, Craig's even like three times more enthusiastic than I get about things. I'm kind of, ooh. And so, you know, we were working with somebody that had a kind of real passion and excitement and joy in making the project happen, like even more, I think, than we were bringing to it, which is just, you know, just amazing. And then Craig is also immensely competent and capable. So, you know, when Craig was designing this and kind of working out what thickness all the timber had to be and what we needed for the foundations and all the rest of it, you know, I could just be completely confident that this cabin will be here for its full lifespan and we won't be having a repeat of the previous one. So I could just completely trust, and you can probably all feel it actually, that it feels very, very solid in here. And, you know, it's a really beautiful held space. And then we've just got the level of care and craftsmanship that Craig has brought to every aspect of doing this, like every detail. So I remember when you were choosing the chestnut boards, and I remember how delighted you were when you managed to get hold of some with the wany edge. That's the kind of like waggly edge from the bark. And then when Craig was actually putting the boards up, like you weren't just kind of like taking the first to hand and kind of like nailing it up. It's like you were doing this careful selection of like which ones would fit together best, and choosing the brothers and the sisters, and having all the best ones for the front where everybody's going to be looking at it. And I'm sure, you know, it took a lot longer and a lot more difficulty and effort, because you were thinking, right, well, how is this going to look? Like, how can this look the best way that it can, you know, with these beautiful materials that we're using? So it's all sweet chestnut on the outside. And someone actually walked into the car park and looked at it and said to me, it looks like it's grown out of the ground. And it does. And there's a reason. Yeah. And then Craig has just been a very, very friendly, immensely helpful and very generous presence. So if I ever say, oh, Craig, what on earth do I do about this? You know, Craig's right there, even though he might be really busy with his brother and sister boards. But, you know, that never seems to matter. You know, he's always got kind of like time and very generous with, well, both your time and showing me how to use your tools, or, you know, bringing us little gifts or bigger gifts sometimes. And just in so many ways, I just don't think we could have had this cabin built by anybody that could have been more lovely to have around and done a better job. Mm-hmm. So thank you ever so much, Craig. It's mm-hmm. really, really appreciated.
Absolute pleasure. Yeah. And thank you.
And it will be, you know, like the quality in this cabin will be appreciated by everybody who comes and uses it. It's like it's obvious when you walk in that it's been built by somebody who really cares about it.
It's fit for purpose.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
So the bit that I've forgotten and getting in my excitement is now we're giving you a small present. And the present we're giving you is a little green Tara to take home with you in memory of the Tara cabin that you've built.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. That's awesome.
So a lot of love is in the fabric of this building already. So we'll do the dedication ceremony and call and response. And we'll just sit for a couple of minutes first and maybe just bring to mind some of the people who aren't here, who've been mentioned. So we get a sense of everybody who's contributed, and hold that sense whilst we do the dedication ceremony. the dedication ceremony. We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the vajra wall of determination extend.
May the vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thoughts become Dharma.
May our thoughts become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech and mind.
With body, speech and mind.
We dedicate this place.
We dedicate this place.
Tare tu, Tare tu, Re Swaha. Time.
The very last part of this evening is an invitation to everybody to come over and eat vegan chocolate chip muffins, freshly baked, tea in the community kitchen.
Thank you very much for inviting me over.
Thank you very
nice.
Much for coming, Craig.
An absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for keeping myself the blessings of the cabin.
It wouldn't have been right without you.